One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Well, you got to go with the flow.
Hi everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan here. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Hey, we're living in some interesting times. First we had a global pandemic, now we got race riots. It's crazy out there, but we're not going to let it get us down. But I did talk to an old friend the other day, who, very timely interview, our friend Kieran Ahern from Fado Irish Pub over at Grand and Clark. Great Irish pub, and they had an incident the other night that I thought you guys would be interested in hearing about. So here's my interview that I did on the phone the other night with Kieran Ahern from County Limerick.
I'm here with my old friend, Kieran Ahern, proprietor of Fado. Fado means a long time ago, is that correct?
That's right, Mike. Yeah, your memory serves you well.
It's like the beginning of a great Irish story. Now, how long have you been with Fado? Fado is all over the country, right?
So they've got 10 locations now around the country, and I've worked with them in the one in Chicago since January of 1999, so just over 20 years.
Oh, wow. Good for you. And it's right on Grand Avenue?
Yeah, it's right there in the corner of Grand and Clark in the River North neighborhood, yeah.
A great pub. Been there many times. Actually, I had my first book signing there many years ago.
Oh, well.
You guys were very kind and let me use the upstairs there, and a lot of people came. We had a blast.
Cool.
And it's great for the Sunday football game, morning football games and stuff. There's always something going on there. I know that.
Yeah, between the GAA and the rugby and the soccer, we show a lot of the sports. And
where are you from, Kieran?
I'm from Limerick.
Oh, Limerick.
Born and raised. So I came out here when I was 26 when I came out here, Mike. So I've been out here now since January of 97.
Oh, good for you. Well, now you have established Fado as one of Chicago's best Irish pubs over the years.
Thank
you. Just a terrific place. In the midst of all this crap that's been going on, you had some tragedy the other night.
We did. So, we're there in the corner of Ben and Clark and the River North neighborhood, and
were you guys open then or closed? You were closed.
No, so we've been closed because of the pandemic. Yeah, so we were closed March 16th, right before the holiday. So we missed on St. Patrick's Day, obviously, and
sure.
We haven't been open since. So in I guess in one respect, it was a good thing that we weren't open, and maybe these things wouldn't have happened if we were. But the protests that have been going on for the last few days with respect of George Lloyd that had been killed, the protests started downtown in Chicago on Saturday, and it spilled out then once the protests were over into kind of violence, and there was a lot of looting and stuff that went on. And sadly, our pub took a lot of damage. All the windows on the ground floor were broken.
I saw the pictures. They were devastating. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
They dismantled.
And they just busted in the front door? Did they go through the windows? Or,
they might have went through the windows, but somebody had decided to dismantle a big old wooden door. And they went
the
in that
door.
Way. The front
yeah.
door, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
wow.
And they proceeded.
Yeah, I remember, like the door to a castle. Yeah.
Yeah, big old wooden door. And then we got it from Ireland, just like everything else inside the pub. And,
yeah.
And they proceeded then to just kind of trash the inside. We had some booze behind the bar, not a lot. The rest of it was kind of locked up. But they took what they could. They took TVs and
oh wow,
the our computer system that we would use to ring in food and beverage and stuff, that was all destroyed.
They just took a bat to it and stuff and smashed it all? Oh, wow.
They literally just went along and kind of just tore it all off the shelves and stuff and threw it onto the ground. And broke a lot of our nice cabinets that we had custom made from Ireland and just broke them. It was...
Where were you when you got word that this was going on?
I was actually in Philadelphia. We have a pub in Philadelphia that I was on the way back from. So I was in a hotel room in Philadelphia at about 11:30 on Saturday night when I got word that this was after happening. And it was somebody had posted something on Facebook. They posted a
Maeve
video on
McSweeney
Facebook.
Posted pictures of it. Do you remember Maeve? She was at Chicago Rosa Trelli.
Yes.
Several years
yes.
ago.
Yes.
She posted pictures. That's where I saw it. Yeah.
And it made its way to me, and I couldn't believe it. And then I started getting on the phone and called the police and what have you. And I didn't want anybody to go near the scene because based on the video that I had seen, it was terrible. It was wild. It was wild. We called the cops, they didn't. Because when we got down there on Sunday morning, the alarm was still going off. Door was wide open. The TV was literally, as you walked in the front door, it was right there at your feet.
Oh, somebody dropped it probably.
Yeah, and just left it there. And the side door was open. The alarm had been going off. And the whole side of the pub that would be on the grand side from corner to where the our garbage room doors are, various different types of graffiti, the whole way along.
Oh, they went all over the walls and
So between breaking the glass and graffiti and we're going, we're an Irish pub, what have we done to
exactly
deserve this?
Exactly.
You know, don't offend anybody or
the feckin' blaggards.
Unreal, Mike. And it wasn't just us in that neighborhood. I mean, there was a whole bunch of damage that was done. And what was incredible though was how that neighborhood responded on that morning. So I want to say we got down there about 8:45, just before 9:00.
Oh, this is on Sunday morning. Yeah.
And I met Tom, who's our general manager, and we went in and. You look around at the scope of damage and you go, wow, this is pretty bad. And then you kick into the mode of going, all right, so we need to kind of get this place back together. What do we need to kind of start doing? And so Tom got on the floor to start calling some people, and I was able to get Kevin Hibbets. Kevin is in Forest Park, has McShane Hibbets. And Kevin was good enough to get him, and he's two boys and Martin to come down, and they were able to board up the whole place for us. They were fantastic.
No,
they were down there by. I called Kevin at about 8:15 on Sunday morning, and Kevin was down there with his lads by 10:00, and they had us all sorted by lunchtime. And again,
God bless him.
Kevin was an absolute. I mean, he's a star anyway. But on Sunday morning,
what's the name of his company?
McShane Hibbets. Construction.
Shane Hibbets, they're board up guys, restoration.
No, Kevin does. I mean, he's a general contractor.
Oh, okay. All
right. He had said to me, he said, I've never done this before. Well, you'd never have thought it might, because again, he builds homes and kitchens and does renovations, and I mean, he's built a bunch of pubs. I mean, Kevin had Kevin was one of the owners of the Celtic Crossing, and Kevin had Molly Malone's there on Madison Avenue in the yes. And Kevin built that. So Kevin built Molly Malone's, and he built the Celtic Crossing, and the renovation actually that we done in Fido 5 years ago on the ground floor, Kevin done that. So Kevin was good enough to come down there with his lads and get us all boarded up and such. But the way the community responded, where I was going with it, Mike, was within 10 minutes of us kind of getting there, and we're on the phone and we're trying to get things organized. Next thing I'm looking around, and there must have been 10 people that are there, and we're just going, so listen, we come in here and we live in the neighborhood, and we just want to know what we do.
Oh, God bless them, yeah.
And they're armed with brushes and dust pens and garbage cans, and people just kept coming. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
And was there any action? We're speaking on Tuesday afternoon. So, and did anything happen Sunday night or Monday night or anything?
So
they're still looting and stuff.
So you're familiar with the expression, like locking the barn door after the horse has bolted.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's after happening in the city of Chicago, which is, you know, for us is a frustration. You know, you had all of this started in Minneapolis in the middle of the week, and they were protesting and rioting for 3 days, and the next thing there's a protest scheduled for Chicago on Saturday. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's most likely going to happen.
Yeah.
And it happened. And then, you know, the baton hatches down on Sunday, and you're going, oh, Jesus, you know, a bit late now. If you had responded like that on Saturday, maybe a lot of the businesses that are downtown that were destroyed. And you know how it is with property taxes and stuff in Chicago. It's not cheap to have a business in Chicago.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Holy cow.
It's not cheap to have a business there. You know,
what's the plan?
So I was down there today. We were down there yesterday. Yeah, you know, truly getting our arms around the scope of the what we have to get done. So, you know, Kevin was good enough to be able to get us in touch with a glazer. So we've got a glazer getting glass, and we have to get a new front door. That's probably going to take 6 to 8 weeks just to get the door sorted.
Sure.
And then we have to get a whole new operating system with respect of our computer system.
After being closed for 3 months.
This is after being closed for three. Talk about bad timing. And again, what have you done to kind of deserve this? You know. But you know what? We're going to focus on the positives, Mike, as much as we possibly can, and. You know, we're dealing with insurance now in hopes that they're going to be able to kind of cover this. And so,
do you have cameras in there?
No, we've never had cameras on the inside, no.
Oh. I'm sure there's people that are breathing a sigh of relief over that.
Well,
I don't mean the looters either.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of it too, you know. I don't think it's ever a good idea to have cameras in a bar
exactly.
For numerous different reasons.
Yes.
For numerous different reasons, and you know, and that's not to knock the bars that do. It's just always been our MO that we don't, you know.
Sure.
So,
that's understandable. Yeah.
But you know.
Well, it's got. We'll continue to plug Fido. It's a great pub. We wish you the best. Are you putting together any kind of GoFundMe thing, or? You know,
so we done
we
done a GoFundMe, Mike, when we first closed, and that was for our staff. You know, we done that, and you know, we thought at the time, as everybody did when businesses closed down in the middle of March, that you know what, this might be something that lasts for 3 or 4 weeks.
I never thought it would go as long as
who would have thought? So, and at this point, you know, it's I think everybody's kind of GoFundMe.
Yeah, it's tough to raise money in this climate. I can tell you
that.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, we'll keep our fingers crossed, and we'll see what we can do. As I said, with the likes of the insurance, we're not sure if we're going to be able to get it covered through them or not yet. So we'll see. It's ironic that insurance companies might do everything that they can not to pay you.
Sure, exactly.
You know, no matter what it is.
Claim.
It's fantastic! Yeah, but God forbid that you need them for something.
Yeah.
Because then Anyway, that's another story. But we hope to be open. By the first week of July, all going well. And that's got nothing to do with the damage that was done. That's more to do with the pandemic and the timeline that set up with the city, you know. So when we're able to open, we fully expect to be able to do so, at least on the inside. We don't have we have a very small patio, you know, being downtown, it's
yeah,
very
right
small,
on,
so we won't be able to open up. There's no point in opening up with three tables, you know. So, So yeah, all going well. You know, a few days after July 4th, we'll get up and going. And
we wish you the best. I'll check in with you again as we get closer to that. So we can send everybody over there. We have an awful lot of Irish first responders that listen to the show, police, fire, and paramedics, and I'm sure they would love to come in and have a jar and help you out in any way we can.
That's fantastic, Eric, and that's greatly appreciated. And I've been kind of a staple in the Irish community now for 22 years, and
absolutely,
we're Irish owned and operated, and you know, we're very proud of that fact, and we wear it as a badge of honor. So,
well, let's help out our own, right? Yeah. Yeah.
As much as we can, as much as we can. And again, Mike, I'd just like to give a shout out to Kevin Hibbets and McShane Hibbets. He's his company for the job that they did and what he does. And just a great Irish company. And again, he does residential work and restaurants and builds homes and does the whole thing. And again, it's all Irish owned and operated and just a great company.
And he saved the day. Right,
Kevin and his crew, and it's Kevin and Kevin Jr. and Danny and Martin, and they're all Hibbets. They literally saved the day, and just great guys. Yeah.
Well, hang in there, Kieran.
Thanks,
we're on your side, and the Chicago police are on your side. So, I'll check back with you in a couple of weeks, see where you're at. Okay, buddy.
All right, my friend. I appreciate you, and thanks for the call, Mike. You take care.
God bless you. Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, thanks to Kieran Ahern telling us all about his problems. And if when they open back up in July, let's get over there and have a jar, because that is a great spot. I've always liked going there, and they're having some tough times, and that's not fair. Life ain't fair, though, you know? So one of the things I want to bring up in the midst of all this is one of our credos with this show is Blue Lives Matter. We're all about police, fire, and paramedics, Irish first responders. And in keeping with that, right after this break, we're going to go back to an old interview with our friend Bobby Burns from the South Chicago Heights Police Department. Interesting career, interesting guy. He was an undercover detective for many, many years, and he's got some great stories. So after the break, we'll be going right into the Bobby Burns interview. So stick around on Hibernian Radio.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
But we got a show. We got the legend with us, and he brought a lot of his law enforcement buddies. They're all here. Hey, let's hear it for law enforcement. Yeah! We're very honored tonight to have the legend himself, Bobby Burns, 25 years undercover Chicago Heights police detective and a variety of other capers he's been involved with. Bobby, welcome to the show, pal.
Great to be here. Real excited.
Terrific to have you. Now, take us back. You grew up in Pilsen, went to Curry High School. What was the situation? Did you have brothers and sisters? What's the family situation?
My brother went to Whitney Young. He's 4 years older. Went to St. Adalbert's Parish, which just closed recently.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
that. This is a big, big news story.
Yeah.
I think they want to knock it down and make condos. Really old school church. Now we, my wife and I, we attend the Mercy Boys Home with Father Dan Brandt, the police master.
Oh, yeah. There. We want to get him on the show.
He's great.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy.
I'll definitely mention it to him. He's a super good guy. Family grew up, my Irish father's side of the family grew up west of Dublin.
Right outside Mullingar.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly where they were. Joined the South Chicago Heights Police Department 25 years ago, October 6th.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, fortunate enough.
So you just had an anniversary. Yeah.
I did. 25 years. Yeah. It was a big one.
Now, where'd you go to high school? Curry?
To Curry High School, Archer and Pulaski by Midway.
Did you go into law enforcement right out of high school?
You know what? It took me a couple years. I took the Chicago police test. Had an opportunity to go out to South Chicago Heights.
Okay.
Made detective pretty quick. Then got assigned to a countywide narcotic task force and passed Chicago. It was a big decision not to jump in and start again in Chicago.
Oh, they came back and said, oh, you can come in now, but you said I'm going to stick with these guys.
I did. You know, my number came up and all my background and stayed with South Heights, and it's been a pretty fun decision.
Yeah, you have an amazing career. You were telling me recently, you know, you still go back. You're still there. You're still with them, right?
I do. I go back for major crimes, homicides, any kind of violent crime. They call me back. Other than that, I'm assigned 5 days a week with the county and work major narcotic cases.
When you say the county, the Cook County Sheriff's Police? Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's called a HIDA unit. It's a task force made up of different suburban agencies and the sheriff's police, like kind of like an all-star team. They bring everybody together.
Yeah, and you're working undercover mostly.
We did for quite a few of the years. I worked undercover. Now I'm doing more cartel investigations.
Oh, wow.
Some of the bigger stuff. It's good. As I get older, my undercover days are starting
That's
to
good.
Get a little...
You survived anyway.
I did a lot of street buys, did a lot of street-level stuff when I started. I looked really young.
Yeah.
So... I had a high school ID. I used to work those rave parties.
Oh, no kidding.
Because you had to be 21 or under to get in. So cops had to be 21 and over. So they would make you show your ID
to
prove your age.
Yeah.
So I had a 17-year-old ID.
And they bought
made
it.
Made me 17. Oh, great. We made a ton of arrests. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
And dangerous work, I would think.
At times. Yeah. I work with a lot of super good people who protect you all the time.
Oh, that's good. Well, they're here tonight, a lot of them.
Yeah, quite a few. Jeff Lang sat next to me for years and years in narcotics desk
to me. He's been on our show a couple of times. Yeah,
super guy.
Now, tell me the ATF story.
There's a few. There's a funny one that comes to mind. You know, you wanted to come prepared, but... ATF was buying a lot of guns from a guy who was selling them to the street gangs.
Guns, okay.
And when they went in to arrest him, he asked, could I just talk to my girl? Could I just tell her goodbye? I'm going away for a long time. So my partner walked her over and he says, baby, I've been selling guns to the gangs. They're going to lock me up. And I love you. And she looked right at him and said, who's going to pay the cable bill?
Ha, ha, ha.
It's probably one of the funniest stories.
That was the most important thing to her.
He just looked down and said, just take me to jail.
Take me away. Yeah. Who's going to pay the cable bill?
That was
a poignant moment in his life.
It was. We didn't want to laugh too hard because he felt pretty
bad
about it.
You felt bad for him. Sure. Yeah. Now, you got that picture you sent me. You got this... souped up car. Is there a story behind that car?
It is. When I was growing up, Starsky and Hutch was a really big TV show.
The red,
It was a 1976 Gran Torino with the red with the white stripe.
Yeah.
And all my life, that's what I wanted to do. So about 6 years ago, I finally found an original.
No kidding.
Restored it. And,
you did? You did that yourself?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. Took a little bit of work to find, you know, good people to put it back together. A friend of mine helped it. and it's a treasure. We had it for my my wedding. We took wedding pictures with it. And
how long have you been married?
Six, going to one on 6 years.
Oh, good for you. And yeah. Julie is here tonight. Your wife, Julie, is here tonight.
She is.
Hi, Julie. There she is.
She's been a big part. I just became a member of the Emerald Society on the board.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, I'm a member as well. They got their big thing coming up November 18th.
The turkey.
Turkey raffle. Yeah.
We'll be there. My wife's actually going to help out a lot.
And, oh, good.
I'm excited to be on the board.
Yeah. And tell me some more stories. You said you just were called back to Chicago Heights. There was a guy who stabbed his whole family or something. What the heck was that?
Yeah, South Chicago Heights. So what happened was this guy, they think he was smoking that spice, that synthetic drugs.
Oh, yeah, that's where they really go nuts.
And when we interviewed...
Bath salts or something like
pretty
that.
Pretty much. Yeah. The wife said he just was acting really weird. And... He was the brother-in-law. He was a guest. He was staying at the house. And he grabbed hold of a three-year-old girl and started dragging her outside.
Oh, no.
And the mom stopped him and started fighting. And he grabbed a butcher knife. It was dinner time. And he just start stabbing away at the mom.
Oh, boy.
And grabbing on the girl. And a 17-year-old son came running in, started fighting with them.
No kidding. Brave kid.
What a great kid. Yeah. Honor student out there. And he started fighting, and he got stabbed a bunch of times.
Oh, wow.
The mom got stabbed. He grabbed a knife and fatally wounded the bad guy.
Oh, good for him.
Saved the whole family.
Wow.
17 years old.
Holy cow.
Amazing kid.
And so you guys get called to something like that. You come in and it's like the aftermath.
Yeah,
right?
I've seen a lot. We've handled a lot of homicides and shootings, and this was probably one of the most violent, bloody scenes I've ever seen.
This was just recently, right?
It was probably about 8 months ago.
Wow.
Maybe 8 months ago. The offender died. The mom and the son recovered. The little girl wasn't hurt at all, which
was
the
3-year old?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
Yeah.
And you see this stuff, and then you turn on the TV and you see all this anti-cop culture out there. It's just ticks you off,
yeah.
You know. And they're not there every day in the trenches looking at this stuff. It's terrible what's going on.
I remember when I started 25 years ago, there were families while I was in patrol still, and if you had to work a holiday, they would invite you in for
Thanksgiving
dinner.
Or Christmas? Oh, yeah.
They would, even on a regular night,
yeah.
They would see you driving by. Hey, you hungry? Stop in.
No kidding.
Yeah, I miss that.
Oh, sure. They don't do that anymore.
No.
That's too. Now, where'd you get the name The Legend?
Jeff Lang, one of my old partners here. We just, it kind of picked up and it kind of stuck. And I'm sure he's the one who told you about it.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He said, you are the legend. Now, here's a story I want to hear all about. There's a thing called the Players' Ball, and it's all the pimps have a big party. And they're all over the country now, I think it originated in Chicago. You were undercover, and you got invited to the Players' Ball. Tell me that story.
I did. I was very fortunate enough to be involved in it was probably one of the biggest cases of my career. The ATF took about a year to infiltrate this gang. And then they brought me in as a money launderer out of Florida.
I had your MO. Yeah, yeah.
And I had a bunch of cars assigned to me, and we really made it look the part.
Yeah.
Julie and I, when we were on vacation, I would take pictures and send them to these guys like if we were, just living
high
the high life. And,
yeah.
It worked out well. I got to meet all the big players. And went to their parties, their birthday parties, and I ended up getting invited to the
Players'
Ball.
You didn't bring Julie to the party, did you?
I did not. I had an undercover ATF agent with me.
Oh, okay.
She was great. She infiltrated the whole gang. And
wow.
We went to this. They elect the Pimp of the Year. It's really, you could see it. It's on HBO, had a whole series on it.
Yeah, it's about Bishop Don Juan, I've heard his name. Yeah.
Yep.
Bishop Don Magic Juan.
Got to take pictures with all these guys, and later on, a lot of them got swooped up and arrested. And,
oh, wow.
I guess we did a good job.
Good for you. That's amazing. I hope you saved the pictures.
You know, we do.
Oh,
I do. They come out every once in a while.
Oh, do they? Yeah. At parties and stuff. Yeah. Hey, check this out. Did you have a walking stick or any of that crazy stuff?
Everybody wanted to know who I was. It was really easy. They were like, "Who's this guy?"
Yeah.
And I made a lot of friends.
Well, were you wearing the long coat and all that crazy?
No, just a nice suit and
a lot of nice cars.
And, you know, that intrigued them more because they were like, "Who is this guy?"
Yeah.
This Irish guy, and you know, walking in, and everybody was really, you know, all the big shots were good to me, so they all wanted to make sure they got to know me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. What name did you use?
You know what? I went with Bobby Joyce.
Bobby Joyce?
Yeah.
No relation to Pickle Joyce.
No.
He's an old friend of mine.
It was,
I can't wait to tell him.
Our chief of police is...
you picked an Irish name.
Our chief of police is Bill Joyce, so I took his last name that I would know and stuck with Bobby in case anybody ever runs into
him. Oh, yeah, and you have to turn around and say, what? Oh, wow.
It was good.
And how much longer do you think you're going to stick with it? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
48.
Well, you're only 48.
I did. I started a private investigation and security company.
Yeah.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, good for you.
I'm really ramping that up and getting ready for retirement.
What's the name of that?
Strategic Security Solutions.
SSS.
Yeah.
Right?
We do a lot of work with some big law firms, and we have some big private clients. We do some big...
Oh, you were going to tell me a story about... Your guys are serving papers on some of these all-star athletes. Tell that story.
Yeah, we did. We had an all-star athlete in town, and I knew where he was going to be. They were running commercials, radio commercials, that he was going to be doing a talk show.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Hooli show.
You can't say who it was.
No, I can't say who it was. Okay. But so I sent one of my guys.
Was he football? What sport
football.
Was it? Football, okay.
He went in. It was a paternity suit.
Okay.
And so I had one of my investigators stand in line, take a picture with him, and then after he took a picture, he got his autograph.
You got to pay to do that, though, right?
Yeah. I paid my guy to do it, but he took the photo with him, got his autograph, and then served him the papers right at the same time. So he wasn't happy, but that's absolute proof.
You got a photo of it.
He got the photo holding the papers. He got his autograph. He bought a drink at the bar, so he had the dated receipt.
Oh, wow.
So... I kind of made a name for myself with some of the high-profile attorneys.
That's good for business, I would think.
It's great.
Yeah. And now, if somebody wanted to hire you guys, what's the number? Is there a website or something?
Sure, Strategic Security Solutions.
In Chicago? .com.
Yep, we're out of Chicago. Appreciate the pitch.
Absolutely. Security, what is it?
Strategic.
A Strategic Security Solutions. Okay. Now, how many guys do you got working that thing? Are they all ex-coppers?
You know what? I have all, we also do regular security. We have mostly all off-duty or retired police officers.
Right.
And I got guys with just years and years of experience that are recently retired.
Oh, yeah.
So now they translate into the into private industry really well.
Sure. We've had a lot of retired cops on the show. They're terrific. Yeah. Once a cop, always a cop, right? Yeah.
And again, I'm getting close to that age.
So
getting close to
You're
that
a long
time,
way so. Off, my friend. You
I
can do another 20 years.
I really still enjoy what I'm doing. Fortunate enough to be on a good task force.
And, yeah.
Doing some good work, so pretty excited about it.
What else you got? You have some other notes here you want to tell me about.
I teach.
Oh, do you?
So about 12 years ago, I started teaching for a not-for-profit. It's called NEMERT.
Yeah.
Northeast. Multi-regional training, and for pretty much all the suburban agencies, whenever anybody would get promoted
suburban police forces,
whenever they would get promoted to a narcotic unit, detectives, I teach a 40-hour class for undercover informants, officer safety, post-arrest, and then we also teach them another advanced undercover class. So I've been doing that for about 12 years.
It's extremely dangerous work, I would think. And you don't want anybody blowing your cover, right? I mean,
we do. And in these classes, the most important thing that we teach is officer safety. We don't, you know, it's not like the movies.
Yeah.
We go incredible lengths to keep our guys safe.
Right.
The undercover's really safe. There's for every undercover that's out, there's maybe 10 or 15 in officers in the shadow
watching
them and then make sure that if something goes wrong.
So there's no hot dogs out there like lone wolves. No, that would be pretty stupid, actually.
Our class is really about just these guys being safe and how to do it right.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times all they see is what they see on TV.
Yeah.
And they could put themselves in really bad situations. Walking years and years, I did street level buys, buying $10, $20 worth of heroin.
On the street.
On the street, in a corner, in a gangway, in a backyard.
Yeah.
And you got to be smart about it.
Yeah. Now, when you in a situation like that, how do you? I mean, you got to go buy like a dime bag or whatever, and then do you bust the guy right away or do you build up a series?
A series of cases, and
are they photographing you while this is all going on?
Video photographs. Okay. Sometimes we had wires. We were recording the conversations.
Oh yeah.
The bigger you would do, like multiple ounces, thousands of dollars worth, you know, you start recording the conversations and videotaping it, and it leads to a better case in court.
When you are buying drugs, do you start small and try and build up so you can get it for a bigger?
Well, it depends. You know, when we did the big case with ATF, we went right in as big players.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't jump too many levels. How do you look suspicious?
Exactly.
You're buying $1,000 and now you're in the realm of $100,000 deal.
Wow. You know?
Huh.
So how many guys work in the South Chicago Heights
about
undercover?
25-30 patrol officers. I'm the only one detailed out to the narcotics
unit. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for well over almost 17 years out of my 25 years.
Wow.
And it's beneficial to the department because if we have a problem in town, we could automatically come in with a bunch of resources. Myself and all my partners, we could flood in.
Oh yeah.
We could do our buys, you know, and wrap up some cases. And then when we seize property and assets from the drug dealers, my town would get a portion of it too. So
how big is South Chicago Heights? What's the
pretty small, actually.
What's the
under 10,000.
Under 10,000.
It is.
Okay.
Maybe about a couple miles.
Is there that much drug activity there? Or?
There isn't. Again, when I started, you know, it was super quiet. And like anything in the south suburbs, it's starting to pick up. And if anything, some jurisdictions around it are getting really busy, and that causes problems.
What about these opioids and all that? Have you seen that infiltrating?
It has become a problem. Fentanyl mixed inside the heroin to make it more potent is a real danger.
And it kills a lot of people, right?
It does. Yeah. And with law enforcement, when we're coming in and, you know, we have cases where we'll be exposed to 5-10 pounds of heroin.
Yeah.
And if it's mixed with fentanyl, it could be a dangerous situation
for us. A lot of people would die. Yeah. Now, you know, my impression of most, you know, junkies is that they're idiots and they're not that smart, but I guess they can function somehow. I mean, you can't just go pick them out on the street and go, grab that guy. You know, you got to weave the web to bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. The addiction is terrible. It's a horrible problem, but you can't. You have to fight it at the higher levels. And when people tell me nonviolent drug offenses, you know, out of every 10 pounds of heroin, how many people have overdosed or died?
Yeah.
In my opinion, violence, gang violence is all over turf.
Yeah.
The majority of the shootings in the inner cities are going to be because of gang turf and not because of you're this and I'm that. It's you're making so much money on this corner. If
right.
I kill you, I could take your corner and make more money. So when people always ask me, well, it's a nonviolent drug offense. You know, what's the backstory? How many people died from here to Mexico or Colombia in between for this drugs, you know?
There's a lot of talk about our state's attorney and guys getting, you know, getting out on I-bond for violent crimes. Anything? Can you say anything about that?
Well, since I'm currently working in the system.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I think all I could really say is if somebody's locked up, they can't be out on the street committing more crime. Mm-hmm. And if it's clear that somebody's arrested and they're out in a few days and they're reoffending, then maybe they shouldn't be let out a third time or a fourth time.
Yeah.
So, I kind of leave it at that.
Okay. It's it's scary that this stuff goes on. Okay, any final stories you want to tell me? We're going to be wrapping it up here. I think it's so fast. You know, I never thought about writing a book.
You know what? You should.
No, I mean you.
Ah.
What am I going to write?
I'll do a TV show. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
So maybe somebody's listening now. I did want to say Joe Ahern from the 100 Club.
Oh, Joe's here
out.
Tonight. Joe's right there, yeah.
Super good friend of mine. I'm a lifetime member of the 100 Club. What an incredible organization.
It is a great organization.
They are.
Joe's been on the show several times. And we also want to give a shout-out to Ricardo Haggerty, who's in the house tonight, our sponsor. And we wouldn't have this show if it weren't for people like him. Well, Bobby, you've been great.
Appreciate it.
Stay safe, my friend, will you?
I will. I will.
And when you come back and tell us a bit, when you get another big bus, come back and tell us all about
it. You got it. I promise.
Okay, pal.
If not, I'll be here Wednesday nights and listen in with everybody
else. Oh, good.
Else.
And we'll see you at the Emerald Society on November 18th, too.
The Turk.
Thanks, pal. God bless you. Stay
Thank
safe.
Thank you
so much. We salute you. Okay. Hey, we're broadcasting from Lizzie McNeil's here on Wednesday night. That was the great Bobby Burns. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hey, everybody. Mike Houlihan here, Hibernian Radio. Thanks for sticking with us. Hey, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hearts in those great Irish saloons, air the cork and carry, and I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, hey, Wooly, who died? Thomas James Aquinas Dwyer, age 84. He was the proprietor of Grandpa's Place in both Glenview and on the west side of Chicago. Great pub. He was the proud and loving father of Marguerite, also known as Peggy, Julie, and Thomas Joseph Dwyer. God rest his soul, Tom Dwyer. Also, Liz Keller. She went too young. She's only 51. She is survived by her mother, Mary Jane, who was a good friend of mine, and Pete Nolan's, and her sister Eileen, her twin brother Richard, and her brother Michael. Born on Long Island, her family eventually moved to Stamford, Connecticut, but she wound up in Winnetka. Great lady. She leaves her friends and family with an abundance of treasured memories. God rest her soul, Liz Keller. Also, over at Our Lady Perpetual Help in Glenview, Father John Flavin died, age 83. He was the pastor there for years. He grew up on the south side, Little Flower Parish, then went to Quigley. Over at OLPH, he was the pastor for many, many years. And he was beloved by many. And they had a funeral for him this week. And they placed his casket on the front steps of the church with an honor guard of the Knights of Columbus. And parishioners drove by. Pete Nolan told me he did that as well. God bless him. So, Father Flavin, say a prayer for me. Marvin Mazzucchelli, another connection to the Nolans. He was Christine Nolan's father-in-law. Well, quite a character. Dearly loved by his late wife, Dorothy. His children, Sandra, Susan, Sheila, Marvin Jr., and Sally. God rest his soul, Marvin Mazzucchelli Sr. Also, Gene McTighe, 88. Husband of 62 years to Margaret McTighe, adored father of Kathleen, Margaret, Kevin, and Eileen. He was a proud veteran of the United States Army. God rest his soul, Gene McTighe. Judith Cunningham, 77. Judy was a devout Catholic and true servant of God in her faith. She used to make blankets for people, just a wonderful person. She leaves her brother Ted and his wife Diana, sister Mary Roman, and her husband Steve. So God rest her soul, Judy Cunningham. Edward Joseph Kelly, 95, husband of the late Lorette for more than 70 years. Wow. He's the loving father of the Honorable Mary Elizabeth, Edward Jr., Sarah, Mark, Matthew, the late Sean, Amy, and Michael. He was, served in the United States Navy during World War II. God rest his soul, Ed Joseph Kelly. Barbara Joyce, age 84, native of Connemara, County Galway, beloved wife of the late Michael Joyce, mother of Gerald and Marie. God rest her soul. Donations can be made to Galway Hospice in her honor. Barbara Joyce, God bless her. Daniel Cunningham, 88, of LaPorte County, Indiana, is born in November in County Galway, Ireland. He earned a medical degree from the University College of Galway. He was a longtime academic pediatrician at Loyola University. Loved poetry, music, food, and drink, and of course, Ireland. He was greatly missed by his wife of 60 years, Margaret, and his six children. God rest his soul, Dr. Daniel Cunningham. And Mary Heenan, age 88, a native of County Galway, Ireland. Married 27 years, the late Peter J. Heenan. And the loving mother of the late Mary Ann Sheila Teresa Colleen Peter and Christine. God rest her soul, Mary Heenan. Okay, we can close up the crypt, Billy. You know, in the midst of all this craziness, we didn't have a caption contest this week because of all this racial stuff. And I just thought it would be too hard to break through on Facebook and get people to enter the contest. But I do want to play a song, and I do want to reach out to the Emerald Society. We had such a great time with all those guys last week, and lady. And I love the Emerald Society, and they've been so kind to us on the show. And so we're friends. We're friends for life. And here's the High Kings doing Friends for Life in honor of the Emerald Society of Chicago.
A world apart is a shining pony, one-horned romantic of old stories, dining on landscapes and on sea breezes, while we rest on seats with the other creatures. We are benched by the life of Riley, forbidden to promise freely on lost subjects of the open-hearted, till nothing could be said but she. Friends for life, oh, friends for life, oh, pining in the night I see stand, with each noise that once rattled a piece of I now, winging at with ease, well, this spring could be stepmaster of peace until held hands keep us swooping in hunger, torpedo minded moonlight hunters, treetops swaying and far beyond view, where she may sleep and feast far from you. Friends for life, oh, friends for life. But you're a tearaway, gonna run off in the night. You're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. No, now it's time to celebrate the world you leave behind. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. What I am told, or do I rebel with their battle cry, when to add more tears in this world's not right? No, I will a night where the music's loud, where the campfires warm up the screaming crowd, where the girls dance in the hot lights on, to add more tears in this world's not right. So put your tear away, gonna run off in the night. You're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. Let down their hair, and the boys in the cheap seats have to stop and stare. And the girls in the cheap seats held out their hand. Oh, boy, if you love that girl, you better make your stand. That's right. It's your tearaway, gonna run off in the night. You're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind. So let's celebrate. Oh, 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 ba, 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 oh, 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 oh. What do I love about where we stand? Well, I love the ground that we're waltzing on, and holding fortunes in each palm. What's holding us together is just imagination. What's holding us together is just imagination. Friends for life.
Deep, deep
in
deep,
the south deep. Side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep.
All
deep.
The way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Section across the tracks where they only spoke Yakky Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bouncer and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly street.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hoolytown.
Hoolytown.
Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Hey everybody, we're back in Hoolytown. So great to be here. It was so much fun being on the outskirts of Hoolytown last week. And that's because things are different in Hoolytown. Got a little story to tell you. A priest was called away for an emergency, and he didn't want to leave the confessional unmanned, so he called a rabbi friend of his and asked him to cover. The rabbi told him he wouldn't know what to say, but the priest told him to come on over, and he'd stay with him and show him what to do. So the rabbi comes on, and he and the priest are alone in the confessional. In a few minutes, a woman comes in and says, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." The priest asks, "What did you do?" The woman says, "I committed adultery." "How many times?" "3 times." The priest says, "Say 2 Hail Marys, put $5 in the poor box, and go and sin no more." A few minutes later, another woman enters the confessional. "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." "What did you do?" "I committed adultery." "How many times?" 3 times." "Say 2 Hail Marys and put $5 in the box and go and sin no more." The rabbi says to the priest, "You know, I think I got it. So you can go." A few minutes later, another woman enters and says, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." "What did you do?" "I committed adultery." "How many times?" "Just once." "Go do it 2 more times. We have a special this week. 3 for $5. Okay. Hope everybody's having fun through all this insanity. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to land somewhere soon, have a new show. You guys are fabulous. God bless you all, and we will see you later. Bye.
Well, I look down the road and I wondered, yes, I wondered, oh Lord, I wondered. Well, I look down the road and I wondered, just to see how far I was from God. Walking, oh, I started walking. I just buckled up my shoes.